No problem. It's Rick calling from Georgia. Listen to your podcast every day. Think it's great. Keep up the good job, man.
Today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
Hey guys, thanks so much for checking out Talkin' Rock with Meltdown. A great episode for you today with Brent Smith from Shinedown up first, then the Rival Sons up second. With Brent, we talk about the upcoming tour. They have 3 dates in Orlando. They're doing something really cool each night. We talk about the suicide prevention concert he did with Zach Myers last week, as well as celebrating Eric Bass's birthday and what he got him.
What did I get him for? What did I get him for his birthday?
By the way, that gift that he got Eric, great advice for anyone looking for a gift on their birthday list. Plus, we talked about the record Attention, Attention. Is there more stuff out there? Did they drain the swamp recording this record? We talk a little bit about that with Brent today, too.
You know, there was just so much creativity going on in regards to the album Attention, Attention. That's why the record is so deep and why it is such a, you know, a really a deep dive into a psychological part of this band.
Up next, it's the guys from Rival Sons. They're kind of touring the country right now, doing some radio station stops, doing acoustic sets. And the new album is on the horizon in 2019. I talked about the writing process. I guess Scott Holiday and Jay Buchanan, the guitarist and the lead singer, they went into the wilderness to concentrate on the songs. And every once in a while,
if we got bored or whatever, we would hop on some quads and just go out into the woods and horse around, have fun. And then come back and write some more.
We talk about touring with Black Sabbath, Rock on the Range, as well as moving to Atlantic Records.
Absolutely, yeah. We're happy to be part of this label, be on this big machine.
Brent Smith from Shinedown and the guys from Rival Sons today on Talkin' Rock.
This is Talkin' Rock. Your backstage pass to some of your favorite rock artists. Here's your host, Meltdown.
Yes, you too can leave me a voicemail, 248-586-2988, just like Rick from Georgia did. I do appreciate Rick listening. And of course, follow me on social media at Meltdown, WRIF, and follow the new Talking Rock Twitter page, Talking Rock 1. So thank you guys so much for listening. Great episode on tap for you again today with Brent Smith and the guys from Rival Sons. Al Beck comes in with rock news coming up at the end. News on Trivium, Audio Slave, Chris Adler, and Dave Mustaine, as well as Dave Grohl. There's always something that Dave is doing. But right now, Brent Smith and the guys from Shinedown, man, they have their whole year planned out for them between tours and all sorts of stuff. And so they asked if we wanted to talk to Brent and talk about what they have going on in the future and what they've done in the past just recently, a week ago, with the suicide prevention thing. And I said, sure. So we were hooked up with Brent Smith from Shinedown today on Talkin' Rock. Hey, Brent, it's Meltdown. How's things, man?
It's good, man. How's the world treating you?
Everything is good. Was at dinner last night with your label mates, Rival Sons and Howard Lesnick and everything, so...
How is my handsome friend, Mr. Lesnick?
He's doing just fine, man. It was a great dinner. So what do you got going on? What's happening in the Shinedown world?
You know, right now, we're getting ready to go overseas. We actually leave tomorrow. We're going to the UK and Europe for 6 weeks, and then we come back and go and make sure everybody gets all the holiday fun with their families. We're going to do 3 shows in Orlando, Florida, back-to-back, which are going to be some... it's going to be pretty interesting, because I think the first night of the 3 in a row, we're going to do the entire Sound of Madness record from front to back, and then come in for an encore, a few more songs. The second night, we're going to do half of an electric set and half of an acoustic set, and then the third night is we're having everybody basically bring posters, if you will, and write all the names of the songs they want us to play, and we're going to kind of like do the third night as like, you know, we're going to pick them out from the audience, so it's going to be super fun. And then we're going to get ready to do this Asking Alexandria Papa Roach tour that we're kicking off in February in 2019. So that's kind of what's going on at the moment.
Yeah, you got your schedule pretty much already pegged out, but that was still 3 shows, man. That sounds really cool. Way to mix it up, huh?
Yeah, and everybody's kind of like, what are they going to do? You know, it's 3 in a row. What's going to be different about it? And so we were just like, well, we're just going to make it a different, you know, show each night. So it's going to be super fun.
Now, are these shows going to include where you go into the crowd like you normally do? And what are the logistics of doing that every single night?
Well, the logistics of doing it is actually a benefit for us, because you don't have to pack up. You know what I mean? So kind of like, you know, the dressing rooms are the same. You know, you got three in a row. You're the only. And the other thing, too, is we don't have an opening act or anything. We did that on purpose. So it's just an evening with all three nights. Yeah, man, it's a little bit, you know, you have a little bit, you know, you can actually, it helps also because during the day, we can actually, which we will be doing, which is, you know, we're going over new material, making sure everything's good to go. So the logistics are actually in our favor because it kind of allows us to get some practice in and hone some, you know, things that we need to kind of get, you know, in a little bit better shape and what have you. And we just wanted to make sure that each night was something different for the audience.
Yeah. Now, you're always doing, like, different stuff out there, of course, on tours and shows like you were just talking about. And you did this thing the other day that was super interesting out in Washington, the suicide prevention thing with Zach. Tell everybody about that.
So, there is a radio station in Washington, D.C. It's a pretty legendary station. It's called DC 101. And DC 101's program director, who's a gentleman by the name of James Howard, had asked if we would be involved in this year's One More Light campaign. And so the American Association of Suicide is a... It's an organization to bring suicide awareness, and what that really means. I think everybody, you know, when you say the word awareness, I think we're all aware of the fact that suicide, you know, and I don't use this term loosely, but there is a stigma with suicide. There's an epidemic with suicide. I think right now in the United States that between the ages of 16 and I believe 25, you know, the percentage of suicide a year is growing in regards to, I think it's close to like, it's up 30-something percent this year than it was last year. Another thing that is so heartbreaking about this also is in America, every year, 7,300 veterans, men and women, take their life by suicide every year. And that is a staggering number if you really look at it. So with the American Association of Suicide Prevention, the goal is by the year 2020 to bring it all down by 20%. Now, some people might say, well, 20% is not that much. No, it's a lot. And a lot of what this is about the families that have been involved with a loved one that has either taken their own life or the individual actually attempting to take their life. And it's called, you know, a failed attempt. And, you know, it's hard at times to really grab the gravity of how important this awareness is until you see it with your own two eyes. And so this was the first time we were outside the Lincoln Memorial, and we did a walk with DC 101 and part of their organization to bring awareness to, you know, the foundation and to walk for the reality of bringing awareness to the cause. But, you know, for something that is so difficult to talk about with a lot of people, everybody this day embraced each other and everybody talked about why they were there. And it was really a beautiful, beautiful experience. But at the end of the day, you know, we have a song right now called Get Up, which is, you know, it's very authentic in what it's very authentic in what it's talking about, which is mental health and also just understanding that there's a deeper meaning to Get Up, which is we don't want people to be quiet if they are having a psychological issue or problem. A lot of times with people, you will see that, especially teenagers, they don't speak up about the way that they feel because they think that they're going to be shamed by it, or they're embarrassed, or they're going to get made fun of. And that is not okay. And these individuals do not need to be afraid to ask for help. And that's a lot of what, you know, that organization is about. It's bringing an awareness to not be quiet. And if you need to talk to somebody, you need to talk to somebody. And so for us, you know, Get Up is about that dynamic of the human spirit saying to the public, you know, look, you're not always going to win, you know, but you got to learn from your failures. You know, you can't be afraid to fail because it's what's going to, you know, inevitably it's going to make you stronger. It gives you guidance in what to do next time because you're not going to be defined by your failures. You're going to be defined by the fact that you refuse to give up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's a bigger conversation that needs to be had just overall, but it was wonderful to be a part of something that really, for such a heavy subject matter, you know, everybody there that day was really embracing as much positivity as they could. There was a ton of people, and it really brings it into focus, you know, being on the ground and really, you know, being involved with all of these people and meeting these individuals and listening to their stories and being a part of this walk. James Howard, who's the program director, he asked us at the end of the walk if we would, you know, play a couple of songs, and also one of them being Get Up, which we did. And it was a beautiful moment, man. And we were very, very proud to be part of it. And we're going to continue to support the cause and try to do our best to erase the stigma and help people, you know, from a personal side and just from a, you know, from a human side with empathy, help to destroy that rising percentage of suicide on a yearly basis, not only in America, but just globally, and get that number way, way, way down.
Yeah, that song had a lot to do with Eric, if I'm not mistaken. He kind of wrote that song. So it was his birthday the other day. What do you get a guy like that for his birthday?
What did I get him for? What did I get him for his birthday? I told him at the age that he is, he's still sexy. That was my gift to him. I just texted him, hey, you're still sexy. Happy birthday.
I got to remember that on my wife's birthday coming up here. Hey, real fast, final
Absolutely,
thing.
Man. Yeah. You know, it's got to be done. You got to make sure that everybody knows they're handsome and they still look pretty.
That's right. There you go. Great, great gift for anybody at any age. That's right.
Exactly.
Hey, final thing. So Attention came out. I mean, did you guys really drain the pond as far as creative and songs and stuff like that? Or do you guys have like a bunch of stuff stockpiled for the next record? Are you working on stuff, or what's the deal with that?
Well, so here's the thing with that. Shinedown, in my opinion, and a lot of people would agree with me on this, we're a bit of an anomaly in regards to albums, because the younger generation, you know, it's more about consumption and, you know, instant gratification. There's a lot of music out there, and it's kind of like, all right, you put something out, and then in 3 months, it's, you know, it's old. That's just not the way people embrace us. You know, we have a lot that we put into the touring aspect of what we do, and also just making sure on this album in particular that we are touring countries that we have not been able to get to in a while or are playing for the very, very first time ever. I think the album cycle is going to go through 2020 of this album because we have a lot of plans for it. I mean, technically, we're only at just the beginning stage of Get Up being the second single. There's a lot of ground to cover. In answer to the question about material, and, you know, we're never going to drain the pond. It's you know, there was just so much creativity going on in regards to the album attention. That's why the record is so deep and why it is such a, you know, a deep dive into a psychological part of this band. And a lot of that had to do with when we wrote Get Up, because Get Up was the sounding board, quite frankly, to the rest of the material on Attention. But in answer to like new music and things of that nature, we're always working on new stuff.
There you go. Well, listen, Brent, thanks so much for the time, and thanks for making me look so good in front of my daughter this summer. I appreciate that always.
Hey, man, you don't need my help. You always look good, my man. I hope you guys had a fun time, though, this summer.
We did, Brent. Thanks, man. Safe travels. We'll see you here in 2019.
Much respect, my friend. Thank you so much. We'll see you soon.
All right, Brent. Thanks, man.
Later.
I've had the good fortune of knowing Brent Smith for upwards of 15 years now. I think 2003 was the first time I met him. Really good guy. I've seen him through his ups and downs, and now he's on a very high up, and really happy for the guy. Man, I've seen him struggle with dependency. I've seen him, you know, do what he's doing now. I mean, the guy is just like a P90X CrossFit guy, and just doing all the right things, putting out good records. Attention is another great record from the guys from Shinedown. So thank you so much for your time, Brent, and thank you guys for listening. scene, but we're not done. No, Talkin' Rock continues. Had a chance to talk with the guys from Rival Sons, and I'll leave a link on the description of the show here to the pages where you can check out these guys doing an acoustic set for our radio station here in Detroit, WRIF at WRIF.com. So, but anyways, I got a chance to talk with the guys. They stopped by my broadcast early on before we opened up the doors, and here's my conversation with the guys from Rival Sons today on Talkin' Rock.
Lovely to see you again.
Yeah, it is our pleasure.
Good to see you, man. Nice to see Excellent. Last time I saw you was at Rock on the Range a couple years ago.
That's right.
I got to tell you, I saw that
show. It
was
wet.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah, it was really wet,
yeah,
right?
And Jay, you were sick, man. And I'll tell you what, you couldn't tell by watching that show.
Yeah, well, you know, you got a job to do. And everybody else goes to work when they're sick. So,
I think
know.
They gave you four songs, and you like, man, you just cranked it out. Holy God.
That was fun.
Stay home when you're sick, everybody.
Yeah.
I'll go to work like
I was going to say that show, something cool. It was pouring, dumping rain, cats and dogs, and it was cool enough that Larry and Herb and Les Claypool came out to stand in the rain and talk with us.
Yeah, I love
it was
that.
A great moment of Rock on the Range last year. I got to hang out in the rain with Primus. That was fun.
Yeah, I remember, I want to talk about that tour that you couldn't tell me about, though, at the time. You said, we're going out with one of the biggest metal bands ever, and you guys were out with Black Sabbath. Tell me about that tour.
Was I trying to, like,
you were
draw you in?
It wasn't announced yet.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, we did that for 13 months. It was a huge honor to be asked by Sabbath to come and do that because it's an unprecedented thing. It was their very last tour, and it was worldwide for 13 months, and getting to play with them every night. So, you know, we get a dual opportunity because we get to open their set for their audience. And then after that, we get to sit and watch their set every night. And it was just, it was incredible.
Tell me about, like, trying to win over that crowd.
Well, you know, it's hard because they're there to see Sabbath, right? But I think we did. I think we still have people coming to shows now saying, I saw you open for Sabbath.
Oh, those are my favorite
shows. What did you do, Miley?
Yeah, absolutely.
I like those shows. I mean, I like our shows. I like our
shows. I warmed up really good before the show.
I like our shows. Thank you. That wasn't awkward at all. Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Miley.
Very unpleasant.
Hey, speaking of raining and whatnot, last time you guys came here, it was raining just a couple months ago.
That's Arch right.
Eats at Eats, man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's
we
right.
We got chased off the stage by lightning. Yep. We were only able to play, this seems to be like a theme run.
We played, let's see, what did we play? Two Tickets to Paradise. And then we played Shaken. And then
Beat It.
Take Me Home Tonight.
All right, let's talk about the new song, because that wasn't released when you guys came through. And, of course, the quote I keep seeing everywhere is, this song is a whiskey nightmare crawling with copperheads to me. I guess you have to explain that one to everybody, Jay.
Yeah, that's called Drinking in the South.
In the South, yeah.
And we were out in the middle of nowhere working on that song. And
now, you and Scott just, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were out there just like on a writing sabbatical for a week. Just to kick things off for the record, and that was one that started there. So yeah, it reminds me of, like I said, it's like a fever dream because you're looking out and you see all the lily pads, you see all the snakes and the broken down shacks. You know, it's all spooky stuff, but it's very romantic and it's a good memory.
Now, was this one of those things, this forced writing that you guys did? I mean, did you go out there and forcibly write songs? Scott, do you want to answer this question?
I would never say that the writing is forced, ever, really. But it was definitely like, let's go out there and write. It was planned writing, for sure.
Yeah, and when if we got bored or whatever, we would hop on some quads and just go out into the woods and horse around, have fun. And then come back and write some more.
Yeah, a quad and an odyssey and go sit by the lake, build fires late into the night, kind of just soak in the land and get our heads cleared and straight. You know, we're both family men and really, really busy at home, so it was good to get away.
It was like camp.
Arsed.
We went to camp.
Yeah.
Rival Sons camp.
It just left the kids and the family at home, huh?
That's it.
Yeah, pretty
Hell
much.
Hell yes.
Yeah. So what's the state of the new record? I mean, is it done? Are you guys still have some stuff to do? What's going on with it?
It's finished. It's mastered. You know.
Turned in.
Yeah, it's ready to go. And
we're really happy about it.
Yeah, we're just waiting. It'll be released in January.
Yeah, you got a title for it?
No.
No, not yet?
Nice try.
John,
yeah,
nice,
John. He's getting us to answer a lot of questions and threw that one in there because we haven't said it yet.
What's the Social Security number?
And so you guys got a big monstrous tour coming up next year, starting off in Europe, right, at the beginning of the year?
Yeah, big one in Europe. Excited. I think it's like 5 or 6 weeks.
I think
really fantastic.
More than likely, you know, we're trying to throw something together for the U.S. in the spring, and or the, you know, the late spring. But we're probably just going to be on the road indefinitely for the next couple of years. That's what we usually do, and supporting this record, there's going to be a lot of touring involved.
Now, this place here you guys don't know about, but we've had shows here with Dorothy and Greta Van Fleet as well. What are you guys' thoughts on the state of, like, just real rock music right now?
I think it's fantastic.
Yeah.
People are embracing rock and roll right now, and we know there's a lot more bands than the ones you named. You know that as well. There's a ton we've been taking on the road with us.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we've spent time opening for the biggest ones, but we've done a lot of touring as well, bringing a lot of our friends out on the road. Great bands, fantastic bands that have been out for a few years now, you know, or more. So I think we know without a shadow of a doubt, there's a scene coming up and rolling. We know there's an audience. We know there's great bands. I think it's about to happen.
Yeah, I think we're on the swell of the wave, and it hasn't crested yet. It feels like the soil for rock and roll is very fertile right now. And I think a lot more bands are going to be coming to the forefront and representing, and I love it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool to get back to straight ahead rock and roll, and it's like no like backing tracks and phoniness on it, you know?
Yeah, you know, hey, if people want to have backing tracks or, you know, sequencing or whatever they want to do, just do it really well, you know, and do it honestly. If you need string sections or whatever you got to do to get your set done, I just like it when it's good, you know.
Just to, you know, all these good rock and roll bands and friends we have and everybody out there trying to make a splash right now, just like a band like us, just really takes good writing. This is the problem I see with a lot of young rock and roll bands. They're like, they rock. They can play. They got all the attitude. As long as everyone starts writing good songs, it's going to become more prevalent. It's going to get on the radio more. It's going to be around more, you know? And
yeah.
I think it's happening.
Yeah, songs like Happy Birthday.
That's right.
That's never
talk
going
about
out of
writing.
Style.
No,
it's anthemic
nowhere.
Songs. Kind of like Do Your Worst. That song, you know, it's like anthemic.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly
why did you sing me Happy Birthday? I'm turning six. I want to hear Do Your Worst.
Like, imagine Happy Birthday in a minor, the whole thing minor key. Happy Birthday to you. It's really
That's half the Sabbath catalog
that was
right there.
Good attempt.
I tried. I still hit the major.
Hey, final thing here for you guys, and we'll let you loose and let these people in to see your set here coming up in just a little bit. But talk about the switch over to Atlantic and stuff. You guys, that's got to be a big boost for you guys.
Absolutely, yeah. We're happy to be part of this label and be on this big machine. We've been on a label that worked really hard for us, but didn't really pay attention to the United States and didn't have big budgets or anything like that. And now we're with one of the most legendary, wonderful labels ever, with a really great group of people helping us out right now.
And it, you know what, it's almost counterintuitive to think of the people that on such a large label, you know, coming from the generation of knowing, okay, well, you know, when you get with the big label, it's all over. They're going to run the show, and you're going to have to, I can't believe how great it's been to work with them, you know?
Like, it feels so good to sell out.
Yeah, well, like, hands off in the right places and hands on in the right places.
And
I'm
producer,
really happy
you guys
to report.
With Dave Cobb, he's kind of the one, is he the one that kind of got everything together and the ball rolling on that?
I mean, really.
Do you know the story
I mean,
tell?
Leah Pizzicante.
Yeah, Leah, yeah.
And,
absolutely.
You know, she was a... Mark,
the program director.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's the one who told me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Mark Pennington,
yeah.
Wait, now that we're mentioning that,
yeah,
that's very significant.
This station is like, breaking us.
Yeah, that is exactly right.
We got to send this station, so let's send them a happy birthday cake.
Why don't you send them one of your guitars, Scott?
That's a great idea.
That is a great idea.
Meltdown at WR.
It's in the mail.
All right, guys. Well, thank you guys so much for all you do for us. We do appreciate it. Thanks, man. And the acoustic set coming up here in just a little bit here at Otis Supply. And thank you, guys.
Yeah, thanks for believing in rock and roll, you guys.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Well, as if you couldn't get more content, we give you more content with Al Beck. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Meltdown. How about yourself?
Hey, getting ready for a big old weekend. Of course, Brent Smith from Shinedown was awesome, as always, and the guys from Rival Sons. I got to tell you, that Rival Sons show, that they did an acoustic thing right here in Detroit, was just amazing. So, WRIF.com, by the way, if you want to check out some of the video, that'll be up this weekend, I do believe. And they did a cover of Wild Horses, man. It was so kick-ass.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, like, I'm not like a huge like Rolling Stones or Wild Horses fan, and I watched that from the side of the stage. I'm like, holy crap, man! I couldn't even believe how good it was. So,
right.
That's so, anyways, cool. Yeah, it was great with those guys from Rival Sons. But, anyways, we've got your rock news. So, what's happening out there in the world?
Well, real quick here, Meltdown. How would you feel about some new Audioslave that you've never heard before?
You know what's funny about that is that they put out their first record, Audioslave, and of course, it was really good. And I felt, and I think I remember talking to Tom Morello about this, or Chris Cornell, or somebody, that at least the last record was kind of mailed in.
Sure.
Because they had to, you know, they had to fulfill their obligations to the record label. So, right. Now there's some more stuff out there?
Yeah, I guess Tom Morello has mentioned that there's not a lot of unreleased music from Audioslave, but there is, and it's pretty great, and he said it will be coming out at some point. So we don't have a lot of details as to when exactly, but Morello's saying there's some unheard Audioslave that we're going to get it.
Now, I'm wondering if it's like, you know, 10 tracks or 3 tracks or, right. or whatever it is. But
so like we did, they just recently uncovered the Chris Cornell stuff. They're putting out that box set that's got some stuff that we hadn't heard from him yet.
Yeah.
So it'll be cool to get some more Chris Cornell in the form of Audioslave, especially with that lineup.
Yeah, it's always super interesting to hear some stuff after people go. And I think we talked about this before, but the Type O Negative guys were going into the studio to record something when Peter Steele died, and there was nothing left.
Right.
They have nothing. So.
And I think we just talked on the last episode about Dolores O'Riordan passing away, and Cranberries like, all right, we've got this album, we're going to release it, then we're calling it quits.
Yeah, right.
You know, we're not doing this without Dolores.
Yeah, there you go.
But, you know, we've talked about this also, speaking of losing, like, the main person in your band. Now, this one wasn't a death, but Trivium's Matt Hafey, their front man and kind of like the guy for Trivium, is actually dropping off of their tour to be with his pregnant wife, which I understand. It's a good reason, but at the same time, they're not canceling the tour, Meltdown. They're just going to have somebody fill in for him.
Now, here's the thing. Who's going to fill in for him?
Well, there's going to be a mixture of people, but we're also looking at Howard Jones, best known as from Killswitch Engage.
Killswitch, yeah.
Yeah. So guys like that. So, I mean, you got guys who can sing, especially like a Howard Jones. That dude's got some pipes.
You know, I think that'd be kind of cool, actually, to have different guys. About, what's his name, Phil Labonte, right? Is he one of the names probably popping
probably,
up here?
Probably, yeah. And, he's from... Was that All That Remains?
Yeah.
Who, interestingly enough, had filled in for Howard Jones when he kind of left Killswitch Engage before Jesse Leach came back. So, but yeah, what are your thoughts on that, though? I mean, like I said, Matt Hafey, it's like his band.
Yeah.
He's dropping off the tour, but it is for his pregnant wife. I mean,
I don't know. It's not like, I don't know. That's kind of a tough one. Like, I'm not like a huge Trivium fan, but
sure.
But if like I went to see Black Sabbath back in the day and Ozzy wasn't in the band, it might bum me out a little bit. But if like Rob Halford stepped in here and there, it might be kind of cool. I don't know.
You go see the Foo Fighters and Dave Grohl isn't there. You know, like, Trivium, Foo Fighters, two very different bands, but you know, it's the same kind of thing.
That's apples and oranges. There's no question about that. But yeah, we'll talk about Foo Fighters here coming up in a few minutes. But as far as Trivium goes, I don't know. I'm kind of like 50-50 on that one.
Yeah.
So I don't know. What do you guys think? You can leave us a voicemail, by the way, anytime at 248-586-2988. That's 248-586-2988 with your thoughts. So go ahead. You got something on Chris Adler?
Yeah, Chris Adler, great drummer, mostly from Lamb of God, but he also appeared on the most recent Megadeth album. Dystopia was on that tour, and I thought this was kind of fun because he got to know Lars Ulrich from touring with Metallica and stuff like that, and he thought he would reach out to him because famously Dave Mustaine was in Metallica. It didn't end well.
We're
still talking about it 30 years later. So he actually reached out to Lars Ulrich for some advice on how to deal with Dave Mustaine, and you know what?
Lars didn't have anything bad to say about him.
No, I think Lars just said, listen, if all goes bad, just kick him out of the band. Right? Is that right?
That's how they handle it. But he actually said, he said, Dave's a pussycat and that he's a sweetheart, but he really just kind of cares. He's very driven and he's got the he's got his vision for the band and he is not cool with anything else.
Oh, Dave. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
no,
absolutely.
No. Dave is the guy who runs that ship right there.
But Lars also admitted that I'm kind of like that, too. So that's why Dave and I did get along. We were in the band together, but he just basically said, do what you do and you'll be fine.
You know, Chris Adler's an awesome drummer and stuff. And I remember seeing Megadeth, I don't know, maybe 6-7 years ago, whatever it was. And it was funny because they were opening up for some bands. So it was kind of during the daylight and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And while they were playing, all the guys were up there and stuff. Then between songs, Dave would go out and, do the crowd banter and stuff like that. Well, the other two guys, David Ellefson and the guitar player, I can't remember what it was at the time, would go back behind the stacks.
Sure.
And so it's just Dave out there. And then as soon as they started kicked into the song, those guys would come back out on the stage. It was like, that's clearly Dave's band.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, no, once he got kicked out of Metallica, he was like, all right, my next band, it's all me. He's in complete control of it. But yeah, Chris Adler, great, great drummer.
And speaking of David Ellefson, I might be taking a road trip to talk to him here for the Talkin' Rock podcast. So we'll see what happens.
All right. Well, I got one final story for you, Meltdown. Yeah. There's another Dave Grohl video out there. I feel like we talk about this guy every podcast.
Yeah, Dave knows how to get in the news.
Yeah, he does. And he even in Detroit, he brought a kid and his father up on stage to sit behind Taylor Hawkins for the show.
Right.
And but this time around, it wasn't a fan. It was actually, there's a video out there at WRF.com of Dave Grohl performing with his daughter at a backyard benefit concert.
Hmm. Yeah, Dave will do anything. You know what that reminds me of? Did you ever see the this commercial didn't last very long, but it was a commercial for Discovery Card, and it was actually with the guys from Steel Panther, and they were in a band called Danger Kitten.
Oh.
And it showed and it showed their rise to success, and all of a sudden it showed their dramatic crash down to earth. They were playing some backyard bar mitzvah or something like that. That's what that reminds me of.
Yeah, it does a little bit.
But yeah, Dave Grohl, so we saw Foo Fighters. I can't remember, did we talk about this? I mean, is there a better front man in rock right now? Seriously, is there a better front man in rock?
I don't think so, man. Like, that guy is like a rock star. You know, Dave Grohl, there's something about that dude, man. Like, I'm just like, Dave Grohl's my guy in rock. Like, I always look to that guy.
He's so comfortable on stage, and he's all over the stage.
Yeah.
He runs the entire show.
Entertaining as hell, too. Very funny.
Yeah, what do you think? 248-586-2988. Is there a better front man in rock and roll right now? I'm going to post it on my social media. I'm glad you thought of that.
Good. I'm expecting credit.
Oh, boy.
He just shook his head no.
Anyhow. Well, there you go. There you go. A power-packed punch with Talkin' Rock today with Brent Smith from Shinedown. Got to thank him and the guys from Rival Sons. And I'll put on some links here to the website so you guys can check out the acoustic versions of those songs, man. Just unbelievable. Between Jay, the singer, and Scotty, the guitar player, Mr. Fuzzlord, I got to tell you, man, it is really impressive. So, great band. If you get a chance to go check those guys. I can't forget about Dave and Mike as well. Those guys are great. Hey, thank you guys so much for checking out Talkin' Rock with Meltdown. And of course, Al Beck with the Rock News. We do appreciate it. We'll do it all again real soon. As a matter of fact, I have a Halloween version coming up for you next week.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.